Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to be turning with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that's where I will be speaking to you today from. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I want to begin this message acknowledging that we are here together right now to preach and to hear the gospel. It's the purpose of this program. It's the purpose of this moment. We're here to preach the gospel and hear the gospel and acknowledge the gospel and read the gospel. And the gospel itself is this. It can be summed up in one word. Christ. He is the gospel. If we made it two words, it would be Christ crucified. That's the gospel. The gospel is completely concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not concerning us. It's an announcement to us. It's a declaration to us of the things that He has done concerning us. But the gospel is not a call to arms for us. It's not something that tells us what we must do or not do. The gospel is an announcement of Christ. It's concerning Christ. It's concerning who He is and where He came from and why He came and what He did and who He did it for and why He did it and what He accomplished in doing it and what that means for us. That's the gospel. It's all about Him, 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 Him. Christ came into this world to save sinners. That's why He came. It's because sinners like you and me, we could not save ourselves. Men stand up in pulpits and they tell people, you need to do this or not do that so that you can save yourself. Well, that's an impossibility. Man cannot save himself. A sinner cannot save himself. That's why Christ came. He came to save His sinful people, a chosen people that the Father gave to Him. And that's exactly what He did. He did not come to try to save His people. He came and saved His people. He bore their sins in His own body on the tree, on the cross. He bore their judgment before God. We talk about the judgment. Every man's going to have to stand in the judgment. Well, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the man's judgment. All of God's elect were judged in Him. Now, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, there's a judgment still to come. But in Him, in that moment, God poured out His wrath and His judgment on the sin of God's people in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that judgment is satisfied. God the Father said, I'm satisfied with the judgment I poured out. The debt is paid. We know that so because God raised Him from the dead. God the Father raised Christ from the dead. Had the payment not been settled, He would have never raised Christ from the dead. But He did. So that proves to us that God is pleased and He's satisfied. And because of that resurrection, and because we were in Christ in all of His accomplishment, we shall be raised together with Him just because of what He did. So that's the gospel message. What I would like for us to look at today is a subject concerning the preaching of that message. For the last few minutes, I have been preaching that message. And I'd like for us to look at something concerning the actual preaching of it. I believe this will be very interesting to you. This is very interesting to me. This is a subject that has been very confusing for many people. Very confusing, but the Scripture makes it so, so clear. So I would like for us to see what God's Word has to say about this particular subject. And here it is. Here's the title of the message. Speaking in tongues. I'm sure you've heard of that. Speaking in tongues. That is a scriptural subject. That subject is in the Word of God. It's a spiritual gift that was given to some. So I'd like for us to see what God's Word has to say about it. Speaking in tongues. Now, if you look with me at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Desire those gifts that you may be able to preach clearly. Verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, and that word tongue means language. When you look up that word in a Bible dictionary, it'll tell you that the word tongue translates, or that word means language. I am speaking language right now. Speaking the language of English right now. So verse 2 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Men won't be able to understand it, only God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, if you'll look with me over at Acts chapter 2, God performed an amazing miracle on his apostles. Right here in Acts chapter 2, this is where he gave the gift of tongues, this speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. The word cloven means to partition thoroughly in distribution. You look up these words and that's the definition. To partition. It means to divide. To partition or to divide. And again, the word tongues, you look up this word also, it still means languages. Languages. So particular languages were given to particular men. They were divided among these apostles in this case. Verse 3 says, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. That word fire means lightning. That's what it translates. Like lightning. It just came down. And it goes on to say, it sat upon each of them, each of the apostles that were there. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, God's Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Jews were there from every country in the known world. Every country at that time. It would be like if you said, you know, there are Christians in China and Christians in Russia and Christians in all of these other countries. They had either traveled or moved to Jerusalem and they were observing this Jewish feast. They were all there. They'd come from all over to observe this Jewish feast. All right. So verse 5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They troubled in mind. That's what they were, confounded. because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And the word language right there, when you look it up, translates tongue. Same word. The same word. Verse 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Aren't these men from Galilee? Verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, our own language, wherein we were born? You have a place where you were born. I have a place where I was born. I was born in the United States of America. Therefore, I naturally speak this English language. Verse 9, it says, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. All those are real places. And they all have real languages. Verse 10 says, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. We clearly speak, to put it in language we can understand. It'd be like saying, we hear them, I speak English, and I'm hearing them preach to me in English. And a man from France could say, I speak French, and I'm hearing this gospel in French from the same man. And another man could be from Germany and say, I'm hearing this in the German language, the German tongue, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ. So these men, here's the point, these apostles in this moment, they weren't speaking gibberish. They weren't making things up. They weren't babbling with their mouths and with their tongues. And it wasn't a confusion. The scripture says that our God is not the author of confusion. Not at all. It was ordered and sure. It was on purpose. It was clear. It was a message. All right, now, look with me, if you would, back in our text at 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 2 says, For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Men can't understand what he's saying. But unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. If a man preaches in a language that nobody understands, if it's a true language, God understands him. God is the one who created all of the languages. So God would understand him. And he may truly be speaking the mysteries of Christ. But if no one that he's preaching to knows that language, he's not doing anybody any good. It may be a true language. In no place here is he talking about gibberish. He's saying it may be a true language, but if people don't speak that language, it's not doing anybody any good. He's not speaking to men. Verse 3 says, But he that prophesieth, the one who's truly preaching, he goes on to say, speaketh unto men. He's preaching to the heart. He's preaching to the mind. He's preaching to the soul. He's preaching to the understanding of men. Verse 3 says, to edification and exhortation and comfort. An old writer and an old preacher named Horatius Bonar, he used to say, preach for a verdict. Preach for a verdict. What's the message? Is the message warning? Make sure they hear and understand the warning. What's the message? Comfort? Make sure they hear and understand the comfort. Preach for a verdict. Verse 4 says, He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He may personally be getting such a blessing out of it. He may be preaching in a language that others don't understand, and he may just really be enjoying it. But that's not God's purpose in calling a man to preach. A man doesn't preach for himself. He preaches for others. Verse 4 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." The man who's truly preaching will edify God's people in doing so. Now, verse 5, he said, "I would that you all spake with tongues." He said it'd be wonderful if everybody spoke in many languages. That would be a wonderful gift. But he said, "I'd rather you just focus on preaching in the language that God has given to you so people can understand what you have to say to them." Verse 5, he said, "I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying." If I spoke 10 different languages, English, French, German, and just name other languages. If I spoke 10 different languages, 9 of them would do you no good. If I spoke French, I could start preaching the gospel in French right now and just be blessed in my heart. But if you don't speak French, I'm not doing you any good. No good at all. In verse 1, he said, "Desire spiritual gifts, but only if God gives them to you to be used in the clear preaching of the gospel." If I'm going to go be a missionary somewhere, then I need to speak that language. If I'm going to be a missionary to Mexico, I need to speak Spanish. Can't just go down there speaking English. Desire those spiritual gifts, but only if God's going to use them for the clear preaching of the gospel. Verse 6, he said, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine?" He's saying, unless there is a revelation of Christ in the heart, unless there is a knowledge of our sin, when we're hearing preaching, if the Spirit of God through the clear word does not convict of sin, and unless a knowledge comes of God's mercy that he gives through the blood of his Son, the only remedy for sin, unless the doctrine of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ crucified, unless that is clearly set forth, it doesn't matter what tongue a person's speaking in. It doesn't matter at all. It will not profit sinners one bit. Not one bit. If it is gibberish to a person, it is useless, it's pointless, it does not profit any sinner at all. And Paul illustrates that by saying in verse 7, "Even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp." You know, a lot of times in churches or wherever, there's a piano. And he said in verse 7, "Except things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped?" I don't play the piano. So if I went down and sat down at a piano and I said, "I tell you what, I'm going to bless you all. You get ready for a blessing." And I sit down at that piano and I take my hands and I just start mashing on the keys and just banging on the keys in different places and just running up and down the keys. Do you believe that would actually be a blessing to your heart? No. But if an accomplished pianist sat down and started playing the melody to "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," you could sit there and hear that melody and know the words that go with that melody, and you could receive such a blessing in your heart. Verse 8, he said, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" When it's time to charge, the whole army needs to charge at the same time. And if the trumpet doesn't sound the charge, how will the soldiers know it's time to charge? Verse 9, "So likewise you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, How shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. I know a couple of words in Spanish. Just a couple. And if I walked up to a man who spoke Spanish and said, my words, my couple of words, and then he thought, oh, you speak Spanish, and he started just rattling off a conversation to me, he'd just be speaking to the air. He'd be a barbarian to me. I'd be a barbarian to him. Verse 12, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Rather than striving for a gift, strive to be an edifier of God's people, a comforter of God's people. Strive to use the gift that he has given you for the clear preaching of the gospel. Verse 13, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Again, I may know and understand in my heart what I'm praying. I may pray in front of a group of people and know in my heart what I'm praying. But if nobody else knows what I'm praying, it's unfruitful. It's unfruitful. Verse 15 says, what is it then? What should we do then? He said, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit or pray on behalf of the congregation, when you're praying to those who are listening, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you pray, pray, our Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. When you pray, you're praying on behalf of all those who are listening. And how are they going to say amen? I'm saying the same thing with you too, my Lord, if they don't understand what you're saying. So verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. So Paul says in verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. He said, I'm thankful for the gifts that God has given unto me. If God gave me the ability to learn other languages and to go preach the gospel in other languages, I would be so thankful for that. Men go and they study languages and they learn languages. And in this case, God just imparted it to them. In one moment, they knew the Persian language. In one moment, they could speak to people from Macedonia. And if God gave me that ability, I would be so thankful. Paul said, I am so thankful for all the languages that God has given to me. Yet, he said in verse 19, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He said, I would rather speak five clear words that men could truly understand than 10,000 words that nobody has a clue what I'm saying. I would too. I'm telling you right now, I would too. I have five words for you. Five words. Christ's blood is our hope. I have five words for you. The blood of Christ alone. I have five words for you. Christ came to save sinners. 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 I have five words for you. Behold the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. I have five words for you. Whosoever will, let him come. Do you need mercy because of your sin? Do you need salvation in the blood of the Lamb? Whosoever will, let him come. From the heart, cry, Lord, I come to you. I come to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave five words to us. He said, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. May God truly teach us what the gospel is in a clear understanding. And may God truly cause us to see that if we do not behold the Lamb of God and see and hear Christ crucified, everything else that we do is gibberish. It's vain jangling. If we are not pointing men to Christ, and if we are not seeing the only hope of salvation that there is, it's useless. May God point us to Him. Till next week, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.